Hi there, I'm Shane Spears, and welcome to another edition of Summit Scale, beaming out to you from the beautiful city of Bath in the UK. My guest today is Aaron Ross. Aaron, a very warm welcome. Great to have you on our show.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Happy to be here.
For those of you that don't know him, Aaron is the author of From Impossible to Inevitable and Predictable Revenue, often called the Sales Bible of Silicon Valley. Aaron is married with 9 children, including through adoption, loves motorcycles, and keeps a 25-hour work week. He's a co-CEO of Predictable Revenue Incorporated. Brilliant. Aaron, the title of our interview today is Create Predictable Revenue. If you're ready, I'll start the clock.
I'm ready.
So let's start. What are the 3 most common mistakes entrepreneurs make in building or growing a sales team?
Well, I think the first is that if it's an early stage company, the entrepreneur doesn't do enough of the selling themselves or doesn't do it long enough, right? The only way you're really going to get that sales DNA and to know what works is for that CEO founder to do selling in the deals or maybe involved for the first 10 or 20 deals.
Right.
And then the second major mistake is they don't specialize their sales teams or early enough. And what that means is the tradition of sales is you hire salespeople, they prospect, and they close, and maybe manage account customers. And that just, it does not scale, it doesn't really work well. And what you'll notice is all the fastest growing companies in the world now follow the Salesforce.com sales model, the predictable revenue sales model, which says you specialize your salespeople. You have prospectors who prospect, closers who close, and account managers for customers.
Right.
And you don't need 4 or 5 salespeople. You start when you've got 1 salesperson or 2 salespeople. So the idea is focus, where you're really having people do fewer things better.
And do they require different skills, different tasks, different types of personality?
It is. So usually you've got the outbound prospector is again like a hunter, and they're more junior.
Right.
And they're all go-getters really, but
yeah,
they're more junior, like a junior version of the account executive, the new business, salesperson or the closer.
Right.
They like signing new customers, closing the deals. And the third type, the account manager, they like the farmers, right? They like to take care of customers. And in that role, again, there could be variety. You could have customer success people who don't have a quota, or account managers with a sales quota. So there's different ways you can have teams take care of customers.
Right.
But you can have different personalities. It's just like in football, right? You've got attack, defense, goalie, midfield. Why don't we do that in sales? Well, we should.
Yeah.
That way, people doing fewer things, but they can do them really, really well.
Yeah, makes sense. And how do I know if I should be building an outbound prospecting team, doing outsource prospecting, or avoid it altogether?
Well, what I'm known for is outbound prospecting, because I created the outbound prospecting team at Salesforce.com.
Right.
That added 100 million or more in revenue in a few years. It's like a specialty. And so what I've seen over the years is that outbound prospecting can be more effective than ever at creating a predictable source of sales appointments.
Right.
And if you can create predictable appointments, you'll be able to create predictable revenue.
Right.
If you don't have a way to create predictable appointments or leads, you will not be able to create predictable revenue. But it's not for every company. So for example, it's much harder for companies that are, if you're in a commoditized space, or lots of services.
Right.
So for example, MSPs, creative agencies, digital agencies, website design companies. We have hundreds or thousands of companies doing similar things.
Right.
VARs, hosting. So those, it can work, but it's just much more challenging.
Right.
So in that case, either you shouldn't do it yet, or you should only do it if you build your own, hire your own person to do it.
Right.
If you want to do prospecting, but you don't feel like you can, don't feel the capacity or interest to hire and manage someone to do it for you, salesperson, you want to keep it simple. Outsourcing can be an option. Outsourcing is always a bit risky in any kind of function.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go in with your eyes open to find a company that has done it, been successful, and they can go through the details around how they've made other companies successful with outsourcing.
Yeah.
And they should be able to tell you who they don't work with.
Right.
They should be able to tell you you're not a fit if this or this.
Right.
And if they can't tell you that, you know, they're just trying to sell you something.
Right.
They're not trying to actually help you.
Right.
But last point is on outbound prospecting, any B2B company, and especially software product companies, but then many services should or will at some point have an outbound function, because it is such a great and predictable way to create sales pipeline and revenue growth. Right. It's a great complement to inbound marketing. I would say outbound prospecting and inbound marketing are, you know, it's like peanut butter and chocolate, two great tastes, or maybe fish and chips, right? They just go great together.
Yeah.
It's not either or, it's both.
Right. And I have to ask, because we're coming to the end of our time, how do you juggle 9 kids and making money?
I have no effing idea. you know, I think ultimately I had took the tack that we decided to have kids. So the 9 kids is 2 from my wife's first marriage. We've had 3 bio kids together. We've adopted 4. And I think we've always said, hey, we said we want kids. We want to adopt. We want to have a kid. And we would figure out the money after.
Yeah.
So we grew the family and we made the money fit the family.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, we have this amount of money. How many kids can we have with this money?
Yeah.
So it's it really been an incredible motivator and forcing function for me to make more money.
Yeah.
When I got married and we had our first bio kid together, I had that, you know, oh shit moment around like, I need to make more money.
Yeah.
And I ended up growing my income 10 times in about 4 years because of that, because I had a family and it was growing.
Yeah.
So rather than seeing a family as something that takes away from your career, really you can see that it should see as something that helps enhance it.
Yeah.
Whether, one of the examples, I take kids on trips sometimes, like business trips, right? The older kids.
Yeah.
I had my daughter helped me keynote a sales conference.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So it's like, I find ways that the family helps motivate me. I try to find ways to integrate it. And as you get older, it's fun. I'm working on finding more like joint projects we could work on together. Like, whether it's new businesses or it's fun. So but you can integrate it a lot more than I think most people do.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Help. That's a lot of children.
Yeah. I love it. Brilliant.
It's from ages 2 to 19.
Oh, you're right. Wow. Aaron, that's brilliant stuff. Thank you for that. For more resources, folks, check out Aaron's website. The link will be below the video, www.aaronrossgroup.com. Aaron, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks for checking out our Summit Scale podcast. If you like what we're doing here, please head over to iTunes and subscribe, rate us and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. And if you want to learn more about the work we do or are looking for a load of free resources to help with scaling your business, check out our website, www.summitleader.com.